This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon, the final Championship Fan Show of the week, so let's make it a good one over the next hour. Coming up over the next 60 minutes, and we'll be looking ahead to all of the action coming up over the weekend. It gets underway tonight. Millwall host Nottingham Forest on the Friday night football. Goes through all of tomorrow. We have the derby between Huddersfield and Leeds, a good game at Craven Cottage between Fulham and Bristol City. An important game for Jonathan Woodgate and Middlesbrough as they host Charlton. A big game down near the bottom, Luton Wigan. And it finishes on Sunday. Tabletoppers West Brom host Swansea. So much more to talk about as well. We'll be talking about Woodgate. Can he last much longer at Middlesbrough? Also a bit about Blackburn. And we'll also talk a little bit about Charlton, who this lunchtime have signed Joe Ledley on a free transfer. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. So that number again, 0208 70 20 558. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, we want to hear your views. Obviously, this hour every weekday afternoon between 2 and 3 is dedicated to you, the Championship fans out there. You can share your views on your club if you're a West Brom, Leeds, Fulham fan. Things are looking pretty bright at the moment and looking good for promotion down near the other end, though. Lots of teams have changed their managers. You look at the bottom seven teams. Barnsley have changed, Stoke have changed, Huddersfield have changed and Reading. But a number of other clubs there, may they be considering. Wigan play Luton at Kenilworth Road. What a massive game that is. Potentially, are we looking at whichever manager, if there is a loss in the game, whichever manager loses, could they be losing their job? And also for Borough, massive game for Pep Guardiola, for Jonathan Woodgate. I don't think Pep Guardiola is currently managing at Middlesbrough. Jonathan Woodgate is under significant pressure. He's at home to Charlton tomorrow. Lost pretty significantly at Leeds last weekend. They lost 4-0 Middlesbrough, and Woodgate was calling for all sorts of reinforcements, that the squad wasn't good enough. They need players in January. Big question is he going to be around in January to take them into that window and potentially sign some players? So some pretty significant games coming up this weekend. As it stands before we run through all of the fixtures, West Brom are top, one loss all season in 19 games. They are 42 points, top of the table by a couple of points. Ahead of Leeds, who on a very similar run, 5 wins from their last 5. Fulham have won their last 4. They're up to 3rd on 35 points. The other 3 playoff positions are held by Nottingham Forest, Bristol City and Preston. Down near the bottom, Barnsley, despite the win against Hull last weekend, they are still rock bottom, 2 points behind Stoke. Wigan are 2 points ahead of them. Luton and Middlesbrough just outside the relegation zone, both on 17 points, but just 1 point above that dreaded drop zone. So, going through the fixtures tonight at the Den, as I mentioned, it is Millwall who hosts Nottingham Forest. Millwall starts the night in 13th place. They are only 5 points off the top 6, though. It's the crazy nature of the Championship, but they are just 5 points off Preston, who are currently holding 6th place. Nottingham Forest start the night in 4th place on 32 points, but they do have a game in hand, so they're in a pretty good position. Sabri Namunchi doing a decent job there. On to Saturday's action. Starts off at the John Smith Stadium. Huddersfield take on Leeds in a derby game, but as we've really established this week, it's a much bigger game for the home side than it is for the away side. For Huddersfield, this is one of their biggest fixtures of the season. For Leeds, it very much isn't. Then on to the 3 o'clock kickoffs. We got Blackburn against Derby at Ewood Park. Blackburn, we'll be talking about them later in the hour. Cardiff take on Barnsley. Both clubs have recently changed managers. Cardiff now have Neil Harris after Neil Warnock left the club. Barnsley obviously now have Gerhard Struber, having sacked Daniel Stendel earlier in the month. He's set to take over at Hearts, although just a slight movement off this. It's so strange. I don't really get it in football how Barnsley decided to sack Daniel Stendel. And it's a very similar situation with Tottenham and Mauricio Pochettino. They sacked the manager. They decided, you're not good enough, so you're gone. And yet, Hearts, who are looking at Daniel Stendel, And Manchester United, potentially, who are looking at Mauricio Pochettino, they would still have to pay compensation to those clubs. And I'm thinking, well, you've sacked them. You've taken their job away from them. So why on earth should their next club have to then pay you for you dismissing the manager? Obviously, if your manager's still at your club and another club comes in for him, then by all means, you should pay compensation. But not if you've made the conscious decision that he's not good enough for your club, you've got rid of him, and then you want money in return. It doesn't make much sense. But anyway, Daniel Stenner was sacked in October and much loved by the fans. I love that story. I keep talking about it, how the night after he was sacked, the Barnsley fans had a drink with him at the pub to say thank you for taking them from League One into the Championship. A nice little story there. A bit of a side note, Barnsley travelling to Cardiff. At the Craven Cottage, it's a really good game. Fulham, who are up into third after four straight wins, take on Bristol City, who are 2 places and 3 points behind them in the table. Playing pretty well, won 5-2 last weekend against Huddersfield. Hull take on Stoke. Hull are kind of a bit of a yo-yo side that have won games, lost games. Their last 3 games, they lost one and draw. That just sums up the Championship this season. They take on Stoke after back-to-back wins at the start of Michael O'Neill's tenure. It is back-to-back defeats. Luton beat Wigan 21st against 22nd. 1 win between the two clubs in their last 10 games combined. And not exactly good form. Graham Jones is under significant pressure at Luton. Middlesbrough Charlton, talking about pressure, there isn't much bigger pressure than there currently is on Jonathan Woodgate at Borough. They've said they're going to remain patient. How long will that patience remain? They host Lee Bowyer's Charlton, who've got plenty of injuries to contend with at the moment, but they are buoyed by the fact they've just signed Joe Ledley on a free transfer. QPR host Preston. QPR, a bit like Charlton a month ago, were right in and around the top six and people wondering whether they could push for a playoff position, but no win in their last 5 for QPR. 3 losses and two draws means that they've now dropped down to 16th place. So their form isn't very good. They host Preston, whose form isn't very good either. They've lost their last 3 games. It felt like just a matter of weeks ago that they were second in the table. Now, after 3 straight defeats, they dropped down to 6th, just a point ahead of Brentford. Reading take on Birmingham. It's 18th against 15th. Not exactly the most glamorous of games this weekend. And Sheffield Wednesday take on Brentford. At Hillsborough, Sheffield Wednesday having to deal with quite a lot of off-field issues at the moment surrounding the sale of their stadium. They host Brentford, who won 7-0 at home against Luton last weekend. And on Sunday, the final game of the weekend, at the Hawthorns, where West Brom will take on Swansea. West Brom, as I mentioned, won the last 5 games, 42 points, 2 points clear at the top of the table. They take on Swansea, who haven't won a game in their last 4. They've now dropped out of the top 6, so not good form for them. As I mentioned, some of the games to watch out for. Huddersfield Leeds is a derby game, more so for the home side than it is for the away side. Relegation battle between Luton and Wigan. I think there's a growing feeling that it will probably be at least one of those that will go down, because you'd imagine Stoke, with the squad they've got and bringing Michael O'Neill in, that they will find themselves pushing out of the relegation zone. So it could be that one or both of those sides get sucked in, and Borough have got a big decision to make. Jonathan Woodgate's a legend there, well-loved by the fans, by the board, but how long is this patience going to remain? It's all well and good saying that he's got your full backing and they want him to be the man to turn things around. But once you get to January, you enter that transfer window, if you're still in the predicament that they're in at the moment, I'm not sure that they will continue to remain patient towards Jonathan Woodgate. Just one transfer story. Obviously, we're building up to the January transfer window. People wondering which clubs will do what business. Do clubs need to bring players in? Do they need to ship players out? Usually, we see more action down the bottom end than the top end. But there could be an interesting situation that we've been talking about not just yesterday, but for the last few weeks surrounding Eddie Nketiah. Remember a couple of months ago when he did that interview where he was on England under 21 duty and he'd scored a couple of goals and he'd had a good start to the season at Leeds, and he was talking about his disappointment that he'd gone on loan from Arsenal to Leeds, and one of the main reasons for that was to get game time. Arsenal do rate him quite highly, and he played actually quite a bit last season, in particular in the Europa League, and the aim was to send him out on loan to Leeds to get regular game time. Now this season, how it's panned out is that Patrick Bamford's been the man that Marcelo Bielsa wants to start up front, and Eddie Nketiah is the man playing second fiddle, really, to Patrick Bamford. And there have been lots of rumours as to whether Eddie Nketiah might go on loan to someone else, whether he might join another club where he's perhaps guaranteed more starts. And according to the Telegraph today, Nottingham Forest are ready to join the race for Eddie Nketiah, who apparently is set to be recalled. So not just is in the pipeline, supposedly it's pretty likely that that's going to happen. He's yet to make a championship start under Marcelo Bielsa this season. That is quite an alarming statistic that Bamford is actually Leeds' top goalscorer. I talked about this yesterday, how the top two clubs, West Brom and Leeds, who have come to be in the best two sides in the championship this season, they don't have anyone in the top 10 championship goalscorers this season. Patrick Bamford is the highest goalscorer from either of those two sides on 7 goals. A bit of a surprise. But Eddie Nketiah, he's played pretty well, and Leeds fans have been demanding it. And you can... It's a really strange one. How on earth can you get to this point in the season? We're now into December, 19 games in. Now, I know Eddie Nketiah's had a couple of niggles. He's missed a few games due to injury, but we're 19 games in. Eddie Nketiah yet to have a start. And Arsenal are poised to cancel his deal prematurely in January. One of the other leading clubs, Bristol City. We talked about it a few days ago, that it seems like Bristol City are the front runners, but I don't think there's going to be a shortage of clubs that'll be looking to sign Eddie Nketiah in January, and we don't know whether it's definite, nothing's been confirmed, but it's believed that Arsenal will cancel his deal prematurely in January and then send him out on loan somewhere else. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of championship clubs looking at his signature. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, Leeds fans, would you be really disappointed, really frustrated if you had a situation where Nketiah was not only recalled, but then sent on loan to potentially a championship rival? Where is Eddie Nketiah's best fit? If he does a move to another club on loan, where would he go? I'm sure there'll be a lot of fans that would love to have him at their club. Call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Plenty to come through over the next hour. We're going to be talking about Charlton later in the hour. A lengthy injury list for manager Lee Bowyer to have to deal with there in a big away game at Middlesbrough. We'll be talking also a bit about Blackburn Bradley Dack, as per usual, in pretty good, fine goal-scoring form. They're at home against Derby this Saturday. I mentioned, though, Charlton's game. They're away at Middlesbrough. The pressure is certainly ramping up on Jonathan Woodgate. He's called for reinforcements in January, but will Woodgate still be there?
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard. Between 2 and 3 o'clock, if you want to get in touch, you can. Call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp, so make sure, don't sit there at home thinking, should I get in touch or shouldn't I get in touch? Make sure you do. Pick up that phone, make sure you call us, share your views. We want to hear from you this afternoon. All Championship fans, this hour obviously is dedicated to you, so make sure you pick up that phone and you get in touch with us. We want to hear from you. We'd love to hear your views on your Championship club. We're going to be talking Blackburn and Charlton later in the hour, but we're going to be talking all things Middlesbrough now. I was talking about Jonathan Woodgate calling for reinforcements in January, but the big question, actually the bigger one, is will he still be there? I'm delighted to say we're joined by Dominic Shaw, a Borough editor at Teesside Live. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Dominic. It was a pretty chastening experience for Jonathan Woodgate, one of his other former clubs, last weekend, a 4-0 drubbing at Leeds. Is that the sort of result that could have a lingering effect, or because of how good Leeds are, that's not going to really determine how Borough's season's going to play out?
I think probably a bit of both. Obviously, Borough and Leeds are rivals, and Borough fans never want to get thumped like that against Leeds. You know, in the last season, they were battling for promotion together. So it was pretty alarming to kind of see how wide a gulf has opened in such little time, really. And the game was followed by reports on Monday morning in some tabloids that Neil Warnock was being lined up as a replacement, but that was quickly rubbished by the club. I've been over to Rockcliffe Borough's training ground speaking to Woodgate today, and he said that he received a call from Steve Gibson 5 minutes after that story was published, or 5 minutes after he'd seen it, saying that, you know, ignore it, there's nothing in it, he's still completely behind him. He understands that he's had it difficult with injuries and other kind of mitigating factors. So the word coming out of the club and Woodgate's insistence is that he's still got the absolute faith of Steve Gibson, so there's absolutely nothing to suggest otherwise.
Obviously, we've spoken quite a few times, Dominic, over the last couple of months, and that's the line that you told us, that the club are going to remain patient with him. He retains the confidence of both the fans and the hierarchy at Borough. Now, it may be that the Borough board are backing him. In your view, Do you see things in performances, even if Borough aren't getting results, that you think actually Woodgate is the right man, he will get things going at some point this season? Or are you starting to see signs and thinking, if Borough don't make a change now, that it's all well and good remaining patient, and we criticise teams nowadays for being too rash in their decisions, but if they wait too long, they might miss the boat and risk a genuine chance of being relegated?
No, I do see signs. You know, there's no getting away from the fact you don't want to get thumped at Leeds like they did. But equally, you can't ignore the fact that whoever is managing Middlesbrough at the minute has to deal with this quite ridiculous, really, injury situation. I mean, I don't know whether you've seen the Borough bench at Elland Road, but four of the six outfield players had never, all teenagers, had never played a minute of Championship football. Another one, Steve Walker, four appearances from the bench. That's what it's come to. You know, Paddy McNair wasn't fit enough to play midfield, so had to play in defence. Britta Sombalonga didn't warm up because of his ankle injury, but was desperate to play. So you know, there's no getting away from the fact that whoever is in charge has would have to deal with that at the minute. I mean, there was three or four players playing out of position at Leeds on Saturday, and that's because the situation has forced that on Woodgate. You know, some of the performances and some of the results have been unacceptable this season. And although that Leeds one was difficult to take, the two that were really alarming were the Sheffield Wednesday and Birmingham defeats, when Borough were rubbish, to put it frankly. But since those games, since the Birmingham game in particular, there has been an upturn in performances. Now, one win in 12 isn't good enough. You know, there's no getting away from that. But Borough were well on track to beat Hull, and beat Hull well at the Riverside before Marvin Johnson stupidly got himself sent off, and then they got that win over Barnsley. When you look at the games coming up, at home, they've got Charlton tomorrow, they've got Huddersfield, they've got Stoke, three obviously direct rivals. Away, they've got Nottingham Forest, Swansea, Preston and West Brom. So there's no getting away from the fact that it kind of puts the pressure on those home games. It's looking at those away fixtures, you're kind of thinking, well, you know, snatch anything you can, really. If you get away with a couple of points, you'd probably take it, as long as you win the home games. I think, really, you look at those next three home games starting tomorrow, absolute bare minimum Borough need is 7 points. And January is huge. There's no getting away from that. But Woodgate said this morning that he knows Borough aren't going to throw money at it. They're going to have to be clever. And January is a tough window to do that. I think they'll look to make the most of the loan market, but that's easier said than done. And in terms of permanent signings, they'll have to be shrewd, because they're not going to throw money at players like they have done in the past.
So it sounds like that Borough will continue to back Woodgate. If he is in charge in January, one of the big comments coming out of the defeats to Leeds was him saying that they blatantly need reinforcements. They need more players in the squad, because at the moment they are just struggling for quality in the squad. It's not what it was last season. I'm assuming then there are a number of issues to deal with, and there isn't necessarily a clear number one, number two, because there's probably four, five, six positions that they need. But if Woodgate is able to bring in two or three players, what do they desperately need? What would make the biggest difference to this Middlesbrough side at the moment?
I think they need a centre forward just to provide some competition and cover for a Sombalonga. There's too much of a Borough too dependent on him at the minute. They are desperate for attacking midfielders, or it's just a bit of creativity. The problem is, there have been for three or four windows now. That's probably been an issue since they were in the Premier League in the January window. I remember I talk around talking about that sort of player. Tony Pulis wanted kind of attacking midfield reinforcements last January, signed Rodrigo Van La Parra from Huddersfield, but that didn't work out. That has to be the priority. But then they also look short of full-back. Anthony Dyke-Steele is out for 3 months. George Friend's out. Hayden Coulson's had a few problems. So you're left with Mark Bowler, who struggled since signing from Blackpool. At right wing-back, or right back, you're playing Johnny Howson, who's a midfielder, obviously, by trade. I mean, he's had to play centre-half. Which obviously isn't ideal. So you need cover at full back. You might well need a centre half, a centre forward possibly, and then desperate for an attacking midfield. But the other issue that Borough are kind of dealing with at the minute is they've got seven senior first team players who are out of contract next summer, and they are players who've been part of the furniture for a fair old while now, the likes of Danny Ayala, Adam Clayton, George Friend, Marvin Johnson, Ryan Shotton, Rudy Gestede, although no one will be standing in his way. And so there's a fair few players whose future is uncertain at the minute. In fairness to those players, the likes of Friend and Ayala, you know, that they're as professional as they come, and they, you know, they care about the club as well. They've been here a fair old while, so they certainly won't let that uncertainty affect their performances on the pitch. But again, it's just another issue that Woodgate could do without.
Do you think, Dominic, that Borough fans will be not regretting, but it's one of those cases where you wonder whether the grass is green on the other side? And one of the criticisms of Tony Pulis was that the style of football wasn't good, that they didn't enjoy watching Borough. Now, obviously, hindsight's a wonderful thing, and we don't know what the future is ever going to hold, but do you think there are a section of Borough fans that will be thinking, if only we'd stuck with Pulis, maybe, yes, we wouldn't have been entertained and we wouldn't have watched exhilarating wins week in, week out, but we'd be in a much different position than they currently are in at the moment?
They probably would have been in a slightly better position, in that Pulis has, you know, a track record of being hard to beat and not getting dragged into relegation battles in the Championship. But, you know, the back end of last season, really the atmosphere inside the stadium was toxic. Pulis had driven a lot of fans away. And I thought at the back end of the year, really, especially after not winning promotion, it was pretty untenable. His position was pretty untenable. It's easy to say now in hindsight, isn't it? But there was a vast majority of fans at the back end of the season who were saying, I don't care about results. I just want to see us playing better football. Now, I know the argument that will come back with that is, well, at the minute, we're getting neither. But I think Woodgate has accepted that, when he came in, he wanted to play this free-flowing, attacking, high-press, intense football. He doesn't have the players to do it. He doesn't have the squad to do it. And I think he has realised now that it was harder than he expected to kind of change a playing style when you've got players who've been drilled to play a certain way for a long period of time. So it's easy to be wise after the event, but there's kind of no getting away from the fact that it was the right decision for Pulis to move on in the summer.
So looking ahead to tomorrow's game, it is a big one at the Riverside. It's at home against Charlton. It's a game of absentees, really. It's going to be a case of people who aren't there rather than are there. Both Middlesbrough and Charlton struggling with injuries, with suspensions. So it's going to be a case of, for both managers, for Jonathan Woodgate and Lee Bowyer, just trying to, whoever's going to win the game is whoever's best able to deal with these obstacles and perhaps in some ways try to just fit something together.
Yeah, it's a big boost for Charlton, obviously, having Lyle Taylor back, isn't it? I think Bowyer said this week that he's going to be on the bench. So that's a big boost. As for Borough, I mentioned Dyke Steele there. He's out for 3 months. The real problem's at the back, because Johnny Howson is likely to step in at right back. Paddy McNair played centre half last week. That's not ideal, because he's been the best player for Borough and you want him in the middle. But he's suspended now. So if he stays with wing backs and if he plays Howson right wing back, then, you know, at centre half he might well have to play Nathan Wood, who's a 17-year-old kid who's only played a few games. If you move Howson into centre half, then he has done. Then, you know, I don't know who he plays at right wing back. So, there are certain areas. Somblanger will be fit to play, so Somblanger and Fetcher will play. The midfield will probably look after itself. But it's those wing back positions that are really problematic for Woodgate. And again, the bench is going to be very thin. Whereas Poy has been saying this week that he has some seniority on the bench and some options. That won't be the case for Woodgate. You know, as I mentioned earlier, Adam Clayton was the only senior player on the bench on Saturday at Leeds. That's likely to be the case again, and he's a defensive midfielder, not necessarily a game changer. So it's going to be difficult, the game, but, you know, with those games coming up, Nottingham Forest on Tuesday, Swansea on Saturday, Borough really desperately need a win tomorrow.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Dominic. That was Dominic Shaw, Borough editor at Teesside Live. And he was talking there about Tony Pulis, that realistically, even though they would have been better off, as in they would be better off now under Pulis than they are under Woodgate, but it had just become so toxic at the Riverside Stadium that they simply had to make a change. Woodgate is demanding reinforcements that the squad needs boosting and bolstering in the January transfer window. From what Dominic's saying, from what the club are saying, he is going to be given the opportunity to turn things around, that they aren't going to make that change quite yet. He is having to deal with a lot of absences. Players are out injured, players are out suspended. As I said, tomorrow's game at the Riverside is going to be definitely a case of both managers just trying to find a way. They're having to deal. You looked at Charlton. Charlton had well into double figures of players unavailable for their defeat to Sheffield Wednesday last weekend. Middlesbrough are without 7-8 first team players. So it is definitely going to be one of those games where it might be quite scrappy, might be a case of trying to push things together. It may be square pegs in round holes, but just trying to find a way of getting through the game. A big game, though, for Jonathan Woodgate. Home against Charlton. Dom was saying there, home run of games looks decent for Forest. Away from home, it's a really tough run. So they need wins at home. And when you're under this pressure and not winning games, playing at home isn't necessarily what you hope it is, where the pressure is just is up another notch at home compared to what it is away from home. But Woodgate certainly under pressure. If you want to share your views, should Woodgate face a sack or should Borough show more faith in what is a club legend? Call us on 0208 7020 558. We are on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We're going to talk about Borough's opponents later in the hour. Charlton, obviously they've made a signing this week. They've signed Joe Ledley at lunchtime today on a free transfer, so a new signing to potentially ease some injury fears. But up next, we'll be talking all things Blackburn.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show. You call us on 0208 7020 558. So much action to look forward to over the weekend. It gets underway tonight. Millwall play Nottingham Forest at the Den. It finishes at the Hawthorns on Sunday, the country's highest ground above sea level, if you didn't know that. But there's your interesting fact of the day. West Brom play against Swansea at the Hawthorns. So, looking forward to this weekend. Plenty of fixtures on the Saturday. Huddersfield play Leeds. Blackburn take on Derby. Cardiff play Barnsley. Fulham are at home against Bristol City. Hull take on Stoke. Luton play Wigan. Middlesbrough, as we were mentioning, play Charlton. We'll talk about Charlton later in the hour. QPR take on Preston. Reading play Birmingham. And Sheffield Wednesday play against Brentford. So, so much to talk about. At the top of the table, obviously, West Brom are top. 2 points clear of Leeds. Down at the bottom, Barnsley, Stoke and Wigan currently are in the relegation zone. We're going to talk all things Blackburn now. And I'm delighted to say we are joined by Matt Holden, a Blackburn podcaster. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Matt. Let's just look back at last weekend against Stoke. A 2-1 away win. Bradley Dack, we'll talk more about him in more detail, scoring at both ends. But it must have been a positive result away from home. Under Michael O'Neill, Stoke had won their first two games under his new tenure. But was that a decent win, or was it a case of you get 3 points, get out of Stoke and go on to the next game?
Yeah, certainly. Good afternoon, Kieran. It was a good result for us. We don't tend to do very well away from Ewood Park. In general, really. So any points that you can pick up away from home are always going to be very, very welcome. And to get them to win at Stoke, and as you said, they've already won two games under a new manager, and it's good to pick up the 3 points.
And it's now three straight wins, Matt, yes, for Blackburn after a very indifferent start, like pretty much every single Championship club. They've now gone three straight wins, which is, other than the top two or three, is unheard of this season. It's taken Blackburn to 11th place. That we talked a little bit a month ago about whether Tony Mowbray was under any real pressure. But as it stands for Blackburn, are you thinking things are going well? And although we're taking it game by game, we're looking good at the moment? Or is it a case of, let's not get ahead of ourselves?
Blackburn fans are always a bit kind of, you know, trying. Some we have a very kind of varied fan base. I mean, I think some do get sometimes a bit ahead of themselves, but then some are still calling for Tony Mowbray to go. You know, he's had his time at Ewood Park, and you know, we're perhaps needing like fresh ideas and things like that. But you know, we were talking like a month ago about that. But I think certainly in the last couple of results that we've had is kind of shown, you know, a bit of what you know, things are starting to click. Mowbray did say at the end of last season he wanted to change our style of play, and I think you could certainly see in the win against Brentford the other week that, you know, we were, you know, a lot I think that was our best performance, and we only won 1-0, you know, which was quite surprising that was kind of like a very good performance, you know. It was so and certainly picking up the, you know, the win against Stoke and Brentford and you know, before that as well, you know, it's been like three wins in a week. So it's been a, you know, quite contrast turnaround to what we had, you know, a couple of weeks ago where we were, you know, seriously. I mean, even me, who's probably one of the biggest Mowbray fans out there, was certainly, you know, questioning whether this was kind of time for us to kind of look in a different direction, manager-wise, but you know, he's certainly kind of turned a few people's heads with the recent upturn in form.
As I mentioned in that win at Stoke, Bradley Dack scoring at both ends, not necessarily happy with the own goal, but obviously another goal for him. He's in the top five goal scorers in the Championship so far this season. Yeah. Are you worried that in January that there may be some Premier League clubs coming in for him seriously, or do you think that's something that you can only think about when you get to the summer?
I think he will stay until the summer. I really think is you know, he has been kind of our, you know, our talisman for this season so far. I think, you know, we will kind of like try and stave off any interest in Bradley Dack and until at least the summer. There was no, you know, I think Mowbray's met with his agent this week, and I think they were just talking about, you know, what's best for the player. And you know what agents are like. You know, they will obviously look for what's best for them as well as their client there as well. And it's obvious that Bradley Dack wants to play in the Premier League. I don't think he's made any secret of that. He certainly hasn't. He's been very open that he wants to play in the Premier League. And you know, I want him to stay around and you know, do that with Blackburn. You know, if he can fire us there, then by, you know, we want him to stay, but we can't really begrudge a player who wants to move on to the next level. And, you know, there's obviously going to be some serious discussions about whether we can, you know, tie Bradley back to it, you know, an improved contract, show him that we're a team with ambition, and show him that, you know, perhaps if he kind of excels even further and we get another couple of players who can excel around him, you know, we can be pushing for that top six. But like you said, at the top of the piece there, we have had an inconsistent start. So whether that actually comes back to haunt us in the long run, it remains to be seen. But yeah, certainly it's a matter for discussion about Dak, and hopefully he does stay certainly beyond the winter transfer window, and to the summer it might be a topic for discussion.
Interestingly, over the last couple of games, Matt, Stuart Downing has started at left back, and whenever I've spoken to you or a few of the other Blackburn guests, the defensive issues have been quite apparent. What have Blackburn been like over the last couple of weeks and months in terms of their defensive structure?
There's been a lot of chopping and changing, mainly down to injuries, Kieran. So we had the, you know, the big lay, you know, big layoff of Darryl Lennon. He went off for 6 weeks. He's just come back into the side now and assumed kind of like a captaincy role. While we've, you know, rested Elliot Bennett at right back. You know, we've had the Ryan Nyambi's had a few injury issues of his own. I think Derek Williams has still probably got another couple of weeks. And we've lost Greg Cunningham, who we had on loan from Cardiff. So there's been a lot of kind of like chopping and changing. Derek Williams can play left back, although he tends to want to play in the centre of the four. And we've obviously got Tosin in from Man City, and Darryl Lennon and certainly Tosin have come good in the last sort of last couple of games that we've had. You know, they've kind of had like a strong defensive partnership. So it'd be interesting to see that when Williams is fit again, does he immediately go back into left back, or does he have to play in a left-back position. But you mentioned Stuart Downing there. I was quite surprised to see him at a left-back position. But, you know, he did very well, especially, again, I mentioned the Brentford game where he's got the young lad on the right-hand side, tearing down at a very pacey, very tricky. And he's managed to keep a clean sheet in that particular game. It's great to see that, you know, that he can be kind of versatile and fill in where possible.
And just finally, then, Matt, looking ahead to the game, it's a home against Derby tomorrow. Yeah. Tony Mowbray has no new injury concerns, which must be a bit of a relief. What are you thinking? Derby's away record has been pretty terrible, especially compared to their home form, which has been very good. I'm assuming there's a quiet, cautious optimism that Blackburn can make it four straight wins.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, it'd be good to get that four win on the board. You know, start December off in a good way. I think this time last year we had a, you know, that was kind of our downward turn, I think. So it'd be good to kind of get a good start to December. You know, going into the busy Christmas period, and we'll be chasing that fourth win.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Matt. That was Matt Holden, Blackburn podcaster, joining us there to look ahead to Blackburn's game there. They've taken on Derby, who, as I mentioned, their away record this season has been terrible. They've been very good at Pride Park, but very poor on the road. So Blackburn looking to make it four wins on the trot. And it didn't feel that long ago that there were questions starting to being asked of Tony Mowbray. He's been in charge over 2.5 years now at Blackburn, but when you've got someone like Bradley Dack, it does help. And they've had to fill in a few areas defensively. Stuart Downing's played the last couple of games at left back, but three wins on the trot this season in the Championship, other than the top two or three, is pretty much unheard of. So Blackburn looking to make it four wins, they'll probably be having nosebleeds if they manage to get four wins on the trot. They host Derby tomorrow. If you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us. Up next, we'll be talking all things Charlton.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard. Up until 3 o'clock, only 15 minutes to go as we build up to all of the Championship action. As I mentioned earlier, it gets underway tonight. Championship fans don't need to wait that much longer. How long to go? 5 hours until it all gets underway at the Den. Millwall taking on Nottingham Forest, and it finishes on Sunday. Table toppers West Brom take on Swansea. So plenty of intrigue to come over the next few days in the Championship. Talking of Charlton, obviously, they've had a much better time of it over the last week. Not in terms of results, but the relief, I think it was this time last week, actually. It was last Friday, where it was announced that Roland de Châtelet had agreed to sell the club to East Street Investment. And finally, Du Châtelet was gone, and Charlton could look forward to probably a new dawn that was coming. It didn't then pan out particularly well just over 24 hours later when they lost 3-1 at home against Sheffield Wednesday. But maybe Lee Bowyer does have a bit of an excuse, a lengthy injury list to deal with, well into double figures last weekend. So plenty of problems for him to look at, and a bit like QPR, both clubs were in and around the top six not that long ago, but now they've dropped down to 17th, and they've got a bit of work to do to change around their form. But I think the new ownership will help with the confidence and will help with the feel-good factor around Charlton. They are buoyed by the news today. It was announced in the last couple of hours, just after the Premier League fan show started, that they've signed veteran midfielder Joe Ledley on a short-term deal. The 32-year-old, who's won 77 caps for Wales, has been a free agent since leaving Derby County in January. He could actually make his debut for the Alex in tomorrow's trip to Middlesbrough. Lee Bowyer said he'll come in and help the young lads that are in and around the squad. He has not featured in a competitive fixture, actually, since August 2018. So quite a long time since he's been around. Some of the quotes from Lee Bowyer: he has experience, he's been in the game a long time, he's an international player. He'll come in again and help the young lads that are in and around it. I'm over the moon to have him on board. This is what Joe Ledley obviously began his career at Cardiff, playing for them between 2004 and 2010. He played for Celtic, Crystal Palace, and then more recently Derby. He said, "I'm happy to be back in football and playing again. I want to play as many games as possible to come here, play football and show everyone what I can do. It's a good club to be at. They're a great bunch of lads. I know a few of them here and they've welcomed me straight away." Potentially a good move for Joe Ledley to get back in. He's been without a club since leaving January leaving Derby in January, and he's now back playing again. Interesting to read some of the comments from Steve Gallen. Currently, well, you look at last weekend, Charlton were without 14 first team players for the trip to Sheffield Wednesday. Head of recruitment Steve Gallen explained that it was important to add depth to his side to help them out in a time of need. He said, "We've had Joe in to train with us for the week. It's something we've been thinking about for a couple of weeks with the injuries that we've got. Lee's been impressed." That's obviously Lee Bowyer. "We've all been impressed, so we're pleased to get him in." He's Charlton's 16th signing of the season. And coincidentally, he will then take the Alex Vacant number 16 shirt. So Joe Ledley is in at Charlton on a short-term contract. Charlton have had to deal with plenty of injuries so far this season. They've managed to potentially put a short-term fix on it. And Joe Ledley will be joining on a short-term deal. The 32-year-old has won 77 caps. He hasn't featured in a competitive fixture since August 2018, and he did leave Derby in January. But he comes in for a bit of short-term cover, a bit of experience during a time where they have a lot of injuries.
This is Love Sport.